Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, PGA Tour golf has returned, and boy, did it feel great. Michael, we had a great time all weekend. We're recapping the action and even got some Southern Death from Colonial as well. We're also going to give out some podcast exclusive picks for this week's RBC Heritage out in your neck of the woods. Golf back in a big way. Very exciting to say. Plus, this week's guest, a really nice conversation and very in-depth in the game with Colin McCarthy. Not only is he a trick shot artist, but he's a holy moly champion instructor with some great pearls of wisdom. We talk about his viral videos as well. But first, we have to shout out Quantix Golf. And Mike, you got to get out on the course last weekend and play with Quantix balls. Thoughts on their performance overall? I honestly, for the value and what they offer me off the tee and whatnot, I found nothing wrong with playing them regularly.
No, I thought for the price of the ball, I was very happy with it. I thought I had good feel around the greens with it too. You know, it's just I need to not hit the ball OB off the tee. That's all on me. But the ball went far off the tee. I will say that. It went far OB.
So Quantix hasn't quite put the laser in to redirect your ball from the hazard back into the fairway. They're working on that now. But just know that they put massive amounts of time and R&D, and they have over 100 years of combined experience in the golf business into creating a new hot ball unlike any others on the market. It's the real deal. We've tried it. Mike's tried it as well, and we enjoy it. It allows Quantix to perfect the quality control within their products and give you the most consistent, high performing golf balls at a great price. I'm a 10 handicap, just started playing these. My scores have dropped, so stop paying 50 or 60 bucks for a dozen balls that aren't getting you the results you need, and go to quantixgolf.com. That's quantixgolf.com. F18 tour ball or the F35 control ball. Our promo code is podcast. Promo code podcast gets you 10% off your purchase. Again, that is quantixgolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, presented by Desert Fox Golf, Groovit Golf, and Quantix Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex, and Alex, you said it, golf was back this weekend,
yes.
The PGA Tour in full swing at the Colonial in Fort Worth, Texas, the Charles Schwab Challenge, and it was a Sunday that I don't think anyone could have expected in terms of the leaderboard and the fireworks and that.
Yes, lots of volatility on the leaderboard, right? It was jumping all over the place. And in typical PGA Tour fashion, the guy who won the tournament, Daniel Berger, aka Daniel Cheeseburger, was like not even on our radar at all for a majority of Sunday, or CBS's radar for that matter in the broadcast. Only kind of got into the fold with about two or three holes left in the tournament, did what he needed to. He was the guy to make that birdie on 18 that no one else could make, which you and I were watching on our Hot Mic stream, and he ended up getting it done in the playoff over Colin Morikawa.
I mean, he made the putts when he needed to, coming in quite a few holes ahead of the rest of the pack, and then really Xander Schauffele just completely falling apart at the end.
Jesus.
I mean
the chances, all those guys at the 18th, I mean, Rose had a chance. He had a putt that just sailed the left edge. And Beefy Bryson had a chance at the end. Xander Schauffele, they all had putts at 18. Berger was the only one who made it. Morikawa had a chance there as well, too, to flat up win. But from short distance, he misses that, and then the power lip out on the first playoff hole, which became a theme of Sunday with two big ones in addition to Xander Schauffele's lip out. And Berger gets the title for his third win on the PGA Tour.
So here's a thought. I said this last week. I said this during our Hot Mic watch party on Sunday as well during the round. How much of this do you think was also these guys not having played for 2-3 months? And you're, even for someone like Xander, who's been in these big situations before, you're just not, it's so unfamiliar all of a sudden because you haven't
just like not necessarily nerves, but just first time back nerves.
Yeah.
You know, that idea that, you know, that these guys are used to that environment, but it's just been a little while. So they have to kind of get themselves adjusted the same way that a guy, you know, plays a couple of smaller tournaments to build him up for a major championship and get his team in form. Kind of the same thought process. And it's going to take them maybe a few weeks to get used to that. And then let's also get into that idea of what this tournament was like. We can get to some other other notable players. But first, let's just talk about the no fans aspect, because this was interesting all week. Sunday, there were some brief cheers from a makeshift crowd across the street from the course on the 15th hole. But outside of that, it was quiet the entire day. What were your thoughts on that?
It was not as bizarre as I think I thought it would be. And I think maybe that's because we didn't see the big names like Rory playing really well, which he didn't. You know, Phil Mickelson missed the cut. We didn't have Tiger, so that wasn't going on. And Jordan Spieth had opportunities but couldn't capitalize, so we wouldn't have heard the roars coming for him too, or Justin Thomas even, who also fell back. So those big names that maybe you expect to see the crowd really rallying around weren't there.
It wasn't the loudest players that were in contention. You know, there wasn't a Patrick Reed or a Sergio or someone just with that volatility that kind of really stirs the pot and gets the crowd going. Those are the guys that typically incite the roars and the oohs and the ahs, and not to put anything against Shoffley, Morikawa, and whatnot, but they're just, you know, very consistent guys that very even keel personalities. They haven't really brought that firepower emotionally on the golf course yet that we've seen. So it'll be interesting to see as we go week to week and who's in contention and what the fist pumps look like and what those raw emotions look like on a completely empty course. It's definitely a fascinating case study to watch now.
Yeah, I think that you almost need to really win. I think you need to find a way to get yourself pumped up without those fans there, right? Because that's how you win, is you ride that energy. So maybe that's also what was missing from Xander. He didn't have a crowd there to kind of root him on when he put the ball in the water, flubbed his chip, but then drained that 30-foot putt to save bogey still. There would have been a huge roar for him, regardless of who he is, just for making that save. So he didn't have that energy to really carry him. So you got to find another way to do it.
It's strange. Yeah. Speaking of pumped up, let's talk Bryson DeChambeau. Obviously kind of stole the headlines of the week, regardless of what he did. He gave himself a chance on Sunday, came up just short, top five finish for him. But the headline is like, whoa, Bryson DeChambeau suddenly looks like an NFL linebacker and has the swing of Bowser from Mario Golf. It's quite a sight to be seen.
It was bizarre. it was, you know, we grew up when a lot of golfers were not that fit. Was when we really started watching golf. We're used to, you know, the larger guys out there who could still get around the course and play. Tiger revolutionized how people trained for the game. And now we have bodybuilder Bryson DeChambeau. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, not only did he develop in the midsection, but his arms are just jacked. Yeah. He's just sprung himself now to being probably the longest hitter on the PGA Tour, just kind of out of nowhere in this 3-month break. And he's taking on absurd lines, so he's a fun guy to watch now. And he's going to be in the field next week as well at RBC. Again, these are weird short shot shaper courses, but he's just decided, F that, I'm taking this line over 70-foot tall trees, and I don't care what any of you say because I can carry the ball through 330 yards, and so far it looks great.
I mean, he did okay at Colonial because it's a little more open. I don't know how that game plan will play at the Heritage.
A
lot more trees. These fairways are not very wide. So, and you got. I just don't see that being successful this next weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And then you and I were joking about fans. So I'm curious to see what sort of beachside or oceanside properties have like a fan setup, like that crowd behind 15 at Colonial. Maybe we can get some nice makeshift setup. So there's a couple roars on the course at least.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens at Harbortown. We will keep an eye on that this weekend. What about the other big announcement that came out this week from really today, Monday?
Yeah, for later this year, fans. Yeah.
PGA Championship fanless.
Yeah, officially. So Harding Park, San Francisco, we were wondering what this was going to look like because California was kind of one of the first places in that San Francisco area to have the issues. And you remember the PGA Championship got canceled and postponed really early in the proceedings. That happened like first week in March. So we already set that precedent.
Moving the PGA to Sawgrass or somewhere. So
they were. Yeah. Yes. God, that feels like a millennium ago. But here we are now. It's scheduled for August. And it sounds like the official word is they're going to go with no fans for the first major championship that returns to this amended and revised 2020 schedule. No fans anticipated for the next few weeks. The one tournament that is currently scheduled to try this, once is the Memorial in Columbus, Ohio, where they're going to be letting in a total capacity crowd of 8,000 people. For reference, that's probably about typically about half probably a third of what they're normally getting. Not even. In fact, they can get even more on a weekend day there. So it's going to be curious to see what that looks like. That's going to be the first alleged trial. We'll see if that comes to fruition in July, but there's going to be some interesting decisions for these tournaments in the next couple of months, whether they have fans there or not.
Indeed. It'll be interesting. We will keep an eye on it. Let's flip over to the Korn Ferry Tour that was just south of me at TPC Sawgrass this past weekend. Big shout out to former guest Vince India.
Shout out to Vince. Top 10. I love a good backdoor top 10 when you're just kind of like cruising the leaderboard and you're like T30 something, T40 something. And then all of a sudden you pop the score up Sunday afternoon when we were streaming and he fired 6 under at Sawgrass's Dye Valley course on the final day, backdoor top 10. So good stuff for Vince. Obviously it's a long haul with the Korn Ferry season now being a full wraparound season. It's going to be like 40 something, 50 something events, but good to see them back as well. So shout out to the Korn Ferry guys.
Indeed. Let's take a quick second and talk about our own golf games, because who are we but not self-serving?
That's right. Oh, I mean, I'm on fire. I'm not going to lie. Again, I've been saying it for weeks now, but golf is actually really easy when you hit the fairway like 10 or 11 times on the day. This is a huge revelation that I just learned at age 32 in my life.
I mean, I could tell you that from not hitting every fairway these last two rounds that I've played. It doesn't matter how good that Quantix ball is in my bag. I need to find the fairway.
Yeah, they don't call it a handicap for no reason. That's true. And I mean, especially when you're putting yourself in those spots on the course, it makes it difficult. But we've gotten great at the punch out shots. So I'm just a little bit more accurate right now, which makes things a little bit easier. Back in the 70s myself. And you're on a quest, I would say your quest for the end of the golf season is to get around under 100, I think. Yeah. You're consistently just over that mark. You're in the 100s. So it is attainable for you. If you get yourself out there a few more times this season.
I mean, before, back in the day when I was playing more often, so high school and college, I was in the 90s pretty consistently, mid-90s. So I know it's just from inconsistency. The pieces of my
life gets in the way, you know?
So hoping to get out again this week. I'd love to be able to get out every week. I mean, that would be the goal, right? So
yeah, it's unemployment life. It's great, man.
All I got to do is make those snowmen go away, and that card cleans up a lot. So...
That's right. It was good to hear from your feedback on the Quantix balls as well. Glad you like them as much as I do. Again, quantixgolf.com, promo code podcast for those as well. Like you mentioned, we talked about it. Beefy Bryson in the field, another great field for the RBC Heritage coming up this week. You know it. You know it. You love it. Harbortown. Let's just talk about that venue. It's just a great spot. Beautiful. And honestly, I think this is a course that really, I'm not going to miss the fans at all on this course, because unlike Colonial, and I love the layout of Colonial, unlike Colonial, this whole course presents amazing topography, wonderfully designed greens, and water holes galore in the finish.
Yeah, and it's not a course you usually see a lot of fans at, because it wasn't built for fans.
Right.
I don't think we're going to miss it, except maybe coming up to 18 with the lighthouse in the background. It's really all we're going to miss.
For anyone who doesn't quite know this course we're talking about, if you played Tiger Woods golf, you know it as the course with the water and the red and white lighthouse behind the 18th green. Very iconic spot in golf there. So it's good to have them back at the RBC Heritage. Like I mentioned, my Twitter picks are weekly at Course of Life 1. I give out usually about 6 or 7, a couple that I'll tell you about right now, or a couple repeats from last week. Mike, Sung Jae Im had a good tournament, despite the fact he didn't quite get to the first page of the leaderboard. He's going off at 30-1 again. He's been the most consistent player in golf the last 3 to 6 months. So pick him again. Pick Victor Hovland again. He had a good week and finished, I believe, in the top 20. And then my third is a guy who's just automatically good in the Carolinas. He's Carolina born. He literally named his his kid Wyndham after the Wyndham Championship. He loves winning in the Carolinas. It's Webb Simpson for my third pick. Okay. So those are three of them right there. And I'll be looking forward to the action at the RBC.
I'm going to throw out one more name for you as a bounce back. We're going to see how resilient this guy really is. Morikawa.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be the ultimate. I looked at his number. I think it's somewhere around like 35 or 40-1. So a pretty good number, all things considered, seeing as what he did and how consistent he's been playing. That number might have dropped, but Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, does he have the heart to bounce back and go 2 weeks in a row? We know how consistent he's been without missing a cut in his PGA Tour career. That can be dejecting to lose in a playoff, but we'll be watching him as well this weekend.
Certainly be interesting to watch. You'll have all your picks up on your Twitter, and we'll see what happens this weekend at the RBC Heritage up at Harbor Town on Hilton Head Island.
Beautiful spot.
Not even an hour from where I am here in
Savannah. Great spot. Well, how are we looking, by the way, weather-wise? You got any 7-day forecast for me? Anything crazy in the future or what?
I think what I saw is that it looks like it's going to be hot. It's actually beautiful here today. Got up into the mid to high 70s, dry, light breeze, perfect. Going to go away. It's going to be back to typical June in the low country, and it's going to be in the 90s. So be ready.
Nice, hot and steamy. Bryson's going to love that for those 340-yard drives at Harbor Town. It'll be fun.
Let's move over to some quarantine hobbies and things we're doing, which really is just for you because I'm back to work full time. So I don't have time to do much of anything, but you're still furloughed. So you're still kicking around the house.
Oh, yeah. It's great, man. Just living the unemployed life, you know, just locked in on the golf game.
Free money from the government, sitting around on the
left and right, weekly round. I've enjoyed Friday golf, Mike. It's a really nice way to start the weekend, especially when you don't work, too. It's a really great way to start the weekend, and it's made me a lot more consistent. Got to the range for the first time in 3 months, finally experimented with going back to a driving range and not just playing. So that was nice on Sunday, but the troubling news, unfortunately, I have to report, I've been updating people on my plant in the backyard. It just can't fight the near 100 degree heat in Texas. So my blueberries, they're turning all sorts of colors. I'm watering it. I'm trying to move it to shade more, but I don't know if it's going to win the fight. It could be over. The dream might be dead.
You know, it was fun while it lasted.
It was a good 2-3 months. I tried, but I guess even I can't keep the most basic plant alive in my backyard. So I'll have to get back to the drawing board.
Actually, I'm trying to remember. I think a blueberry bush actually needs another blueberry bush in order to be pollinated.
Oh, okay. So two needs two in a company. I gotcha. All right. I'll work on that next time.
It's all right.
Yeah, but now that's about it. You know, I've just been kind of, starting this slow checklist of businesses that I want to get back to that are safe in terms of restaurants and bars, and things are opening slowly in Texas, but you got to kind of take precautions these days. So you got to, go to a place, figure out quickly if they're taking the precautions needed to keep it safe for you. And we're learning that places are doing it great and some aren't. So you just got to make your list, everyone, slowly get yourself back out there in the world and do it safely. And hope everyone is at least getting out of their quarantine in some capacity to enjoy the outdoors right now, because it's beautiful weather for myself.
Indeed. Let's move over to this week's chapter in our Course of Life book club. We are, of course, doing The Big Miss by Hank Haney
about now.
Time coaching Tiger Woods during some of his most successful years. And we finally got to read the chapter 6 called Highest Mountain, about Tiger's amazing victory at Torrey Pines in the 2008 U.S. Open. Wow.
This is one of my favorite weeks in golf. For anyone who doesn't know or have any frame of reference, if you go back and you want to watch any Tiger Woods win, you always hear us talking about Tiger. You're not that big into golf, but you just like the podcast. If you want to watch a vintage Tiger Woods performance, you have to start with the 2008 Open, understanding that he won the U.S. Open on a torn ACL and quite literally won the tournament on one leg. So just start and stop there before anything else that we explain from this chapter. That in of itself makes it an amazing performance.
This was compared to Hogan's win after his car accident.
Yeah, basically, which is insane.
I think this is more impressive because Tiger had to win an 18-hole playoff.
That's right, not 90 holes. Or it ended up being 91, I think, actually. I think the Monday playoff even went to a playoff hole, if I'm not mistaken. So just an insane amount of golf for Tiger on one leg. And the funny part right off the bat at the start of this chapter was that this U.S. Open performance in 08 almost never happened. Mid-surgery, the doctor who was operating on him for a more minor procedure, the doctor thought, I probably should repair this entire ACL based on what I'm looking at right now, but I can't because I don't have Tiger's consent because he's under the knife right now. And because of that, the surgery stayed minor. He was able to be just, hobbling enough to give it a go at the U.S. Open. So this whole thing almost never happened.
I mean, it's particularly impressive because you had his surgery surgeon come to him and say, you need to shut it down. You need to have surgery. You will be done for the rest of this year. And then you'll come back in 2009 and there you go. And Tiger just sat there, from what Hank Haney recalls, pretty much unmoved by anything.
Blankly.
And then just says, I'm going to play and I'm going to win. And
just cocky Tiger at his finest right there.
It's cocky Tiger, but is it cocky if it came true? Is it showing to his incredible drive and willingness to put up with whatever is necessary in order to win?
Yeah, and then Hank Haney is explaining that during the practice building up to this tournament, Tiger is using the club, a golf club, as a cane, basically, to walk himself around the driving range. He was using a cart, could barely even walk, and Hank Haney made him walk the course just to get used to what that's like in tournament golf. Quite a buildup. There was a lot going on, obviously, but it was interesting to see that Tiger understood the gravity of the industry injury. And during the tournament week, Hank Haney's had a lot of complaints this entire book about Tiger's behavior and his attitude. Yeah. But he said that Tiger had the best attitude and outlook of his entire career during that week at Torrey Pines.
I wonder how much of that was because Tiger, even though he wanted to win, recognized that it was almost impossible. But it was going to be such a difficult task that he had to be grounded in the sense that he may not, especially with how he was playing during warmups, that he knew it may be atrocious and that just may be it.
Right. And it would take like every single one of his best shots to complete an 18 hole round. And then he'd have to do it over time and time again that week. And the gravity of that too, definitely taking place. It was interesting to see how he worked through the tournament week as well too. A lot of stuff, centered around just kind of the shots that he hit that tournament week. And I'll tell you, if you want to watch a YouTube video, just watch the Saturday back nine of the miracle shots that he pulled off on one leg, hobbling late into the night at Torrey Pines, just some unbelievably compelling stuff. And Hank Haney definitely had a front row seat for it all.
The other thing that Haney brought up was how possibly Tiger doing this maybe really killed his chances at ever beating any of the other records that he was going for, because what else could be as momentous a thing to get over as winning at Torrey, a course that he loved, on one leg?
Yeah, and then not for him to be, a palm reader or whatever, but Tiger then went a decade or longer without that major and getting another one until the Masters of last year. So, proved right in a certain sense. It was interesting to see that connection as well. A brief mention regarding Tiger and his quote, big air quotes, treatments for his injuries as well too. Dr. Anthony Galea is referenced. Some people may know that name because he was tied to a lot of HGH scandal in different sports as well too. And Tiger had some small dealings with him. Haney swore that all the treatments that Tiger were getting were completely legal. Obviously, we're going to throw the air quotes on that because, you want to think that that's all in the up and up, but it definitely led to a little bit of suspicions when you see that name come up.
Let's throw air quotes over also Tiger not having Hank Haney stay in the rented house as would be normal, but instead getting his own private hotel, which, as Haney said, was quite nice.
Yeah, that's right. Really, really hooked up to Hank Haney. Yes, I'm glad that you touched on this because I was wondering if I was going to touch on this or not as we were talking about the chapter. But that was an interesting sentence because, wait a second. Did Tiger squeeze in an affair at Torrey Pines? It sure sounds like he was intimating something like that.
Haney's been leading up to this like the Tiger's sexcapades, for lack of a better term here.
Yeah. And that's a perfect segue right there to what's going to be coming in chapter 7. Yes. This was the first time, I will say, I've been reading each of these chapters to get to the end and stopping right at that mark. However, this was the first time that I read ahead to the first paragraph of the next chapter. I stopped myself after the first paragraph. But all I know is that I saw something about Hank Haney getting a call from Tiger's agent about something. So we'll just leave it at that. And that's a great tease for what we'll get into next week with chapter 7. I'm finally going to get my gossip, I think, which I've been waiting
for. It's exciting times in the book. We will have that next week. But let's get into this week's guest.
Yes, let's.
You got to chat with Colin McCarthy, who's not only a winner of Holy Moly Season 1, but he's got some wild trick shot videos. Hits it righty and lefty better than either of us will ever be able to hit it.
I was telling you this on the stream on Sunday. Yeah. It's insane how nice his lefty stroke is, and he gets into that too and a lot more as well in the interview.
I'm just super jealous. But first, we want to let you know this conversation was brought to you by our partners at Groovit Golf, creators of the sold out Groovit brush. But don't worry, this unique golf accessory is taking back orders.
So yeah, they're still available for you, but shout out to them selling out inventory. Nick and the crew doing a real great job getting the word out. And we've been saying this for months, too. This isn't like a bold prediction, but we've just been telling everyone that golf courses are taking the brushes away from ranges. They're taking the water sources away. So a tool like Guru Brush is just absolutely necessary now. Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of people heard us and listened.
So let's tell you what makes it so great and why you need it. A, it's got a patented pump that sprays water cleaning solution onto your club face. It has detachable magnets, so you can have ultimate mobility with it. And the bristles come with a 3-year bristle guarantee. And what more could you ask for?
All you need.
It's all you need. So all you need to do is go to grooveitbrush.com, put in your order so that it comes to you as soon as it's back in, and you'll have maximum backspin distance and accuracy with each shot. So again, that's grooveitbrush.com. Head over there, get your Groovit brush right now.
Next up on the tee, based in Atlanta, Georgia, he's a golf coach, content creator, and a past champ on ABC's Holy Moly as well. It's Colin McCarthy joining the Course of Life. Colin, how you doing tonight?
Great. What's up, everybody? How you doing out there listening?
Awesome.
Golf is growing, man. This COVID thing, I love how people are all coming together, and let's just keep doing this.
Yeah, definitely. And I found you because first and foremost, you're a shot maker extraordinaire. You're at Colin McCarthy Golf on Instagram. I'm curious. I didn't get all the way to the beginning and the origin of your social media career specifically, but what did your Instagram like first start out looking like, and how far into it did you get into like posting, you know, your golf content and trick shots specifically?
Oh gosh. So long story short, I used to post, you know, a picture of a deer on a golf course. And then I'd post, this was nice, a little golf ball every now and then, but I didn't use it for any purpose other than that. What was funny is I used to be all about Facebook, used to be all about, you know, instructional forums, and then egos got in the way. So I always had stuff linked to Instagram. And then I just started kind of stirring the pot and like making them, you know, kind of frustrated. And I'd show them trick shots and stuff like that. How am I doing this, guys? Explain this one. And it was kind of fun to kind of stir the pot to see what they would say.
Nice.
And I had it linked to my Instagram, you know, it's whatever. One of my students from an internship I'd had, but, you know, I keep communication with them. He goes, hey, bro, like, well, you got to check this out, man. So you're on Golf Gods. And I had no idea who Golf Gods were or anything. I had not a clue. I'm like, okay. And he's like, you got 50,000 views in 6 hours or something like that. And this was, you know, 4 years ago. And I was on another internship at the time. So then I was like, okay. So I look on Instagram, and it was pretty cool. I had no intention of any of this happening, and
just kind
of
stumbled into it.
Because, you know, Golf Gods, I'd seen it. And it was basically, I was hitting two balls at once, righty and lefty.
Okay.
It was kind of the first kind of swing that I put on Instagram that was kind of consistent, I guess. I don't know what I was doing, because I was more on Facebook than anything. And that's kind of how it started, I guess. And I didn't take it too seriously until after I graduated from Coastal Carolina in 2017. So really, 3.5 years I've kind of been doing this. Almost 3 years total I've been doing this. Yeah.
Very cool.
It'll be three. 3 years total, yeah.
Nice. And one thing that you glazed over there, which is really cool and very underrated as well, too. You mentioned that one of your first notable shots was you hitting righty and lefty. You can play from both sides. I noticed it seems like you're primarily a righty, but talk about picking the game up lefty as well and how that came about. You know, how's your lefty game going?
My game isn't going at the moment. I actually had back surgery due to a genetic abnormality in my spine. It's actually called spondylolisthesis. Still on the mend, but, you know, a couple months I'll be back for sure.
Okay.
I would think anyway. I was curious just to know what my beginner students went through, so I went through the whole process of just swinging the other direction. People have this tendency to believe that there's a right-handed swing and there's a left-handed swing. Well, it's funny because you're not using one hand on the golf swing. You're using both.
Right.
You're just on either side. So it's funny how they come up with all these theories and everything, but really you're just either on the left side of the ball or you're on the right side of the ball. You're swinging, you know, in a different direction, but it's the same function on both ways. If you can simplify that, and that's what I did. I got clubs. It took me a few days to find clubs. I got a set of mirrors for like $400, which is hilarious. And then, because each club is like $250, $300. And then 2 months went by, and I was, you know, more consistent. And then by the fourth month, I shot a 35 on 9 holes.
Damn.
And broke par. And it was just really interesting. The whole experience was worth learning more about my body and learning about the golf swing even more. Because when you're practicing out there and you're actually wanting to improve, you need to change your practice. You need to change it. You don't want to do the same thing over and over again. Hitting more than 5-7 irons doesn't make any sense because you probably only have about 5 or 6-7 irons, or at least should, throughout your round.
Yeah, and let alone hitting them in a row, too. That never happens.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, hitting a golf ball isn't necessarily golf. It's just a movement, and it's like hitting a punching bag. I mean, you're not in the boxing ring. There's a person moving. There's things happening that you need to be aware of. Well, it's the same thing on the golf course. So hitting a golf ball is relatively simple, but scoring is the difficult part of golf. That's why it's so hard. But what people do is they skip the quizzes and the pop quizzes and the studying and the practicing, and they go right to the test and think they're going to learn something other than mistakes in the first couple times they go out. And, you know, that's fine. It's just going to take you a lot longer, no matter who you are. And that's, you know, a segue into trick shots. That's why I kind of changed up my my avenues of how I practice. And a lot of tour players actually have fun on the range, believe it or not. Speed used to skip balls on the water. There's so many instances where tour players are actually having, you know, different practice routines. And I, for one, when I attempted, having a lot of injuries actually stopped me from playing, you know, tour golf. But when I practiced, I'd be behind trees and bushes in tall grass. I wouldn't be hitting 5-foot putts, you know, for 5 hours. Just, you know, you're only going to get so far. You have to learn that. Learning has a curve to it. In
yeah.
golf, you're trying to straighten that curve as much as possible. So it's really fun, man, to kind of get in depth with your own practices and your own functional movements that your body can make.
Yeah, I love the versatility of all the different trick shots you hit. And as someone who spends a lot of time in the woods, who's a wayward driver of the golf ball, I'm hitting a lot of those punch hook and slices and whatnot. And I think you've got an art to the banana ball. So let's talk about the different way you hit ways you hit the trick shots. First off, I'm curious, like in the lessons you teach, and you know, you work with kids, adults, people of all different levels. What are like the shots, like the trick shots that your students or golfers ask to see you hit the most?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't get too many questions upon that because I jump into my lessons as a very simplistic questionnaire. I basically ask them, how long they've been playing. Do they have any injuries? Do they have any hobbies? Do they have played any sports? And then I, check out their clubs. And then I can kind of guess, based on their lifestyle, what they've been through, what their misses, what their score usually is. I can guess just by not even looking at a golf swing. But usually it's the shake of the hand, which we can't really do right now. But
yeah.
The shake of the hand usually tells me what kind of lesson I'm already going to have. And that's just sheer body language and profiling and stuff that I've learned along the way. But it even can tell a lot about the grip, a lot about the demeanor of the student that I have. So it's cool to learn how humans themselves perceive a lot of things. And golf is perceived very confused, and it's very much of an illusion. So I get very in-depth in my lessons when it comes to the mind, the actual theory, because when we learn anything, our brain works first. Like when you write something, your brain has to tell your hand what to do. So in hindsight, you're doing the same thing with a golf club. The golf club can't do it. It doesn't do any work. It's kind of funny that, let the golf club do the work. it doesn't. You're actually physically making a force so that the golf club can function.
We wish it did.
Yeah, we wish it did. Well, Rick Shields, he's pulling out these clubs that actually automatically hit it 200 yards with a little, trigger. It's actually hilarious. So, I actually want to purchase some of those clubs and try and do some shots with those things. That would be amazing. Hit a stinger shot with it. You never know. So I think I might have a couple ideas with that. So that's pretty cool.
Thanks.
But, it's very, very specific to the person when it comes to coaching. It is the person, their body, their functionality, their abnormalities, and their brain. That's how you learn. There's no other way than learning with your brain. It just isn't. You can't. It's like if I go on YouTube and learn a whole bunch of drills and I go and do them, the drill doesn't necessarily ingrain the idea. It ingrains a feeling. And anyone listening out there, feel isn't necessarily real. You probably hear it quite often. And what it really means is, say, for instance, you have a person that lifts a 50-pound anything, just anything that's 50 pounds. And you have a jacked bodybuilder that goes over and lifts it. He feels something completely different than the person that's in their average Joe that doesn't go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the golf swing, totally different concept as well. You have basically a function, and then within that function, you're feeling different things. And some say, "Oh, it doesn't feel comfortable." Well, it only doesn't feel comfortable by mechanically and biomechanically because you're not using the proper muscle. And the only reason why you're not using the proper muscle is because concept, idea, the thought process of your actual inevitable movement that you make in the golf swing. So that's how I do virtual lessons. I don't need to physically touch anyone, nor can you right now. So
6 feet. Yep.
Yeah. So there's no difference between a virtual lesson and an in-person lesson. Zero difference. It has to do with the ability of someone knowing how to work the camera, which I do, and I help them. It takes 2 seconds. All you need is a shoe and a chair, and you're good. You just put the camera in the shoe and put the shoe on the chair. It's that simple. You don't need a tripod. You don't need any of it. And just some space to do a couple chip shots.
Like that.
Get the idea. Say what?
No, I like that. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Keeping it simple, and you're right. You don't need a tripod. You just keep it simple, stupid, and get people going with the virtual aspect of the lesson. I appreciate that simple tip.
Yeah, it's very, very simple. You don't need much. And a chip is a small swing. It's not necessarily a putt unless you're deliberately trying to make it so.
Right.
But I wouldn't recommend doing that because a club is not designed to putt. Putter is not designed to swing. They're two entirely different objects. That's why when I do hit a putter, I hit the putter fat on purpose. So it hits the top of the putter so it spins the ball. And it goes that direction just because the top edge of the putter is hitting the golf ball. The rest of the putter is into the grass, and don't really recommend doing it unless you have what's the word I'm looking for? A cast mold putter. Those are hard versus a forged putter, which most putters are forged, so they're going to bend. They will bend for sure.
Nice. Well, let's talk a little bit about putting since you mentioned it. Holy moly, and the ultimate putting competition. You navigated the famous windmill. You fended off the competitors and you won like the pro you were. What was your favorite memory from experiencing the filming of that episode and competing and winning?
Meeting with people. Fantastic. I actually met an individual that lived 20 minutes away from me during my childhood. I had no idea. He actually played golf with my grandfather, knew my grandfather, and played at the golf course I kind of grew up on. So
nice. Small world.
It was just kind of surreal. And he was actually a standby too, so an alternate. So it was really cool. We all kind of bunched and huddled up in a tent. We're all very, very cold. Because it was from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. that we'd film. And it's in the mountains of, California. So it was very, very different than what I expected it to be. Mm. But that's what happens. Sometimes you don't always get what you want. When you don't get what you want, you get experience. That's
yes. What.
So I take it with every grain of rice that I pick up. And I picked this one up, and it was a good one.
Definitely. Yeah. So tell me, I got to ask Steph Curry, he donned the plaid green jacket on you at the end and then you were given the golden putter. Do you have either one of those? Were you able to keep either one of those or both of those or where are those resting currently?
Yeah. One's not in front of me, but I can kind of see it's in my closet. So I'm laying on my bed. And it's resting my spine. And then my putter, sometimes I use it in Instagram Live, but it's just spray painted. it comes off, but it's okay. They're around the house. It's fun. It's a good memory to have, and it helped me invest more into Instagram and more into social media. So it's really helped me, grow as an instructor, as I promised I would do if I did win. So
definitely love it. Again, it's at Colin McCarthy Golf on Instagram. A few more kind of off the board questions I wanted to ask about, because in that Holy Moly episode, it's about where you're from, and they mention Lanesboro, Massachusetts. Now, I'm from the other side of Massachusetts originally, grew up in Concord, just west of Boston, but tell everyone a little bit about Lanesboro. You're way out there towards the New York State border, and I'm curious about kind of what that was like growing up there and then where your sports allegiances lie as well, too.
Well, sports allegiance, everything. I mean, I played everything under the sun. Probably why I can control and have muscle control so well. Muscle awareness. I can pretty much swing any way. It does help that you play every sport and kind of get the idea of it. Growing up in Lanesboro was wonderful. Kind of grew up in the woods, actually. One of the first people to actually inhabit a house, actually the first person to actually inhabit a house on my road. Nice. Second person to actually build a house on that road. And then eventually, you got 20, 25 houses up in that neighborhood. And we're kind of on a mountain too, so it's kind of cool. You got about 10 acres of woods in the back. I would take an 8, 9 iron pitching wedge, whatever, and just play woods golf is what I call it anyway.
Nice.
I just pick out a tree or something, and I have to go around other trees and bend it around other trees, and it's, you can't make your lie good. It is what it is. If you break your club, then you have to go get another one. But it was fun to kind of explore and inadvertently make myself a good ball shaper and striker just doing that.
Yeah, you force yourself to spin the ball both ways. Definitely when you're in the playing woods golf for sure. In Lanesboro, is it mostly like Boston sports affiliation there, or are they affiliated with like New York pro sports teams?
I would say more towards Holton. Not even that. They had their own smaller sections. It was very small. Sports wasn't really a big thing, but where I was at, it just really wasn't. They're more down in Lee and Lennox than anything. Great Barrington, the bigger, more, I would say, more inhabited. Pittsfield, it's kind of hard to. It was more of a GE town. So to speak, General Electric.
Okay.
And then GE moved, and General Dynamics came in. And I mean, that's what it is. Kind of like a mill town almost, but not really. Dealing with the whole PCBs and everything in the water and all that other fun stuff. And it was great as a child growing up there. It was wonderful. I'm very grateful to be growing up in a small town of 3,000 people. Class of 55 people in high school, it was good because now I appreciate something when I come to a big city like Atlanta, and I appreciate and see the small stuff. I'm able to work around all that, and I get around quite well here, and I like it. But there just wasn't much there. There wasn't much in Lanesboro.
Small town life, definitely cool.
And I migrated to quite a few places. That's pretty fun life so far.
Very cool. And in terms of the shots that you hit, when people are watching and checking out your Instagram right now, they'll see all sorts of really cool, coolly shaped shots, from just blistering slices to huge banana hooks. And you do trick shots in your home as well, too, as all over different venues. What are your favorite types of trick shots to do these days? Is it the sequence putts that bounce off 15 different things in your home that take, maybe hours and hours to perfect? Or is it the banana balls that you hit on the course with the perfect camera angle? What are you kind of more enjoying recently, content wise?
Definitely the beauty shots, I call them. It's just it's an art. With trick shots, it's an art as well. But it's, to me, it's simple math, and then needs kind of repetition until it gets the good bounce that you're looking for. Because it's just not. There's luck. There's more luck involved in that than there is getting the perfect shot, getting the camera in focus, tapping the actual phone screen, running back and forth, making sure everything looks good, and then executing the shot when you have people almost at the tee. That's the hardest part. It's just, you don't just sit there and hit 500, 600, 700 shots. You're there. You've got one shot, one ball. One understanding of what you need to do, and you got to execute it. You've no choice. And of course, you've got battery life, and then film, and how much time you got, and how much memory you have on your phone. You got to make sure that you clean it, and you clear it out every day. And it's harder than what people realize. They don't understand. And Carp Barn guys and I were talking about this. Kyle Mays, it's just. People don't understand that we're out there doing this, for them, for golf, and we really appreciate anything, any love and comments and likes that we get, because that's how you're exposed to cover page explore page and all those fun things that are out there to help you grow and help golf grow. Because if I grow, then golf grows, and if I grow, I'm going to help more people grow, because that's how I feel. I'm going to do it. I'm not just going to keep my followers to myself, because it's just not me.
Definitely. Yeah. No, it's very consistently unique trick shots that you hit across the board. It's a unique variety that you put, and you have a great spin on the game, and you make it very fun for a lot of people. You do a lot of cool stuff in Top Golf Bays as well too, so it's definitely worth checking out for everyone. The one last question I wanted to ask you, Colin, is regarding the end of your days. Let's say you've taken hours to hit that perfect trick shot and it's been executed. We love to ask about the 19th hole for golfers in general, so I'm curious, like, what's your go-to, your meal or drink of choice after you've completed maybe a round of golf or a trick shot that took all day?
I drink, obviously, Body Armor water, I haven't had anything else in quite a long time, and then they were on board with me, and I was on board with them. It's kind of, a kismet, and it was just a great relationship that we have now.
Nice.
I was very fortunate for them to kick off their TikTok with the bottle flop that I had done for them. He didn't even know I was doing it, because at that point, we knew of each other. He'd send me stuff and said, I did something for you, but you're going to have to check it out. He was like, okay. So I sent him an email, and a couple of days later, he DM'd me, and he was just going ballistic. It was great.
Nice.
And then I had to be really patient with that. I sat on it for about 4.5 months or so until they wanted to launch. And then they finally launched, and it was worth the wait. It was cool. So, with that, being said, I usually stop by Publix. I get rice and chicken broccoli. I used to be a personal trainer, so that's still kind of in me. I cook and eat healthy, and especially with this whole COVID situation out there, I like to know what's in my food and how it's prepared. And if I keep my body healthy, then I can keep swinging. And as of lately, I got to be very, 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 very careful what I put in my body, because I want my bones to heal strong, and so I can get back out there and do more content for everyone.
Definitely. Well, best of luck with recovery, and looking forward to more content when it is coming. It's always very consistent. Again, at Colin McCarthy Golf on Instagram, and look forward to a lot more from you in golf, and hit them straight.
Thanks, Alex. Really appreciate that, man. You've done quite a bit of back and forth with me, trying to get me available, and it's been a heck of a week so far, and I really appreciate you and everyone else out there. I wouldn't be here without you guys.
That interview with Colin McCarthy is thanks to our friends at Desert Fox Golf, creators of the Phone Caddy. And Alex, I've had it for a while. I finally have been playing now.
I saw that. Yeah,
this thoughts. Such an incredible thing to have on your golf cart. It literally goes on there in like 2 seconds with Velcro onto that pole. Yep. Sticking up. You put your phone in it. It sits there. It's really easy to play music or have your scoring apps open or whatever. Check your DMs, or what I did on Saturday to join an Instagram Live.
Literally joined. You can join from your phone caddy, and it's a really cool, versatile device. And like we say, we don't go on and on about these products for any specific reason other than we love them and we believe in them. That's the bottom line here. And the phone caddy is part of that family. So shout out to the Desert Fox guys.
It's fantastic. And it's really nice to have something that you can put in your cart and be like, guys, look at this. You all need to get this. This is amazing.
It is trendy.
All look at it and go, wow, that's really cool. It's incredible. It is literally the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And you can save 20% off your purchase with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. There's a plethora of different colors and options to make it your own. Again, save 20% with promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com. So head on over and get your phone caddy today. Again, DesertFoxGolf.com. Chat there with Colin. He really does have some pretty incredible videos up there on Instagram.
He's the real deal. And I even mentioned him to KC Trick Shots when we were on our stream on Sunday. He was like, oh yeah, me and Colin are talking. I was like, I would love to see a collab with the two of them.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
That would be the ultimate right there. A couple superheroes uniting. But yeah, Colin's got all the shots and the videos from Topgolf. I love him playing around with the creativity of the Topgolf bays, like doing the club flip and how the ball, you know, comes out of that little portal there. He hits a lot of shots on the walk, on the run. The versatility is insane, and really enjoyed having Colin on the Course of Life.
Fantastic. Let's talk about our Patreon real quick, because we want you to know you can support the Course of Life podcast and everything we do and the great content. And you can get free content. Well, content once you pay for it. We'll give it to you for free once you give us money. That's kind of how transactions work in the world. Starting at $2 a month, you'll get access to all of our blogs.
$2.
And a little more, you'll get access to more cool stuff like occasional extra interviews as well. Up there right now, some new and notable stuff by Hot Sauce Recipe is up there.
Yes, so that's right. That. I'm doing my highs and lows blog. I'm going to be doing my what to watch for blog to preview and review all the tournaments. Plus, I'm going to be including a little bit more of a profile aspect to our guests as well, too. So taking you behind the scenes of putting together the podcast and how everything works for us here on the Course of Life and what goes into making each episode. So we'll get that behind the scenes look for everyone as well, too.
Let's talk about some other sports. I mean, everything else is happening. Baseball, though, may not be happening, but we'll whatever.
I mean, they are just the worst. I feel like I send that tweet out or retweet somebody in baseball, like arguing back and forth on Twitter late at night. And I'm just like, baseball, LOL. Like, they just can't get out of their own way. It's just like stupid sad at this point, the ongoing negotiations. But we had one brief ray of hope with ESPN's 30 for 30. They aired Sunday night. They recapped a very fun year. The last time I remember true fun in baseball. 1998, Maguire, Sosa, the home run chase. What are your memories of that? Because it was an interesting look back on the 30 for 30 Sunday night.
At that point, we were naive to steroids.
Oh yes, well yes, we turned a blind eye basically.
We did. Yeah, I do remember watching that. I remember rooting for Sosa more than Maguire.
Yeah, so Sosa definitely had a lot more of an effervescent, outgoing personality. Maguire was kind of much more just a stone-faced killer who was ruthless at the plate. It was interesting to look back at the chase itself. There wasn't a whole lot of new revelations or information or content brought to the forefront in this 30 for 30, but it was just a fun look back at 98 and the season on a whole. Fun fact, you forget that Ken Griffey had, like, I think 58 home runs in that year, too. The steroid era was insane, Mike, if you look at those stats and you're going down a rabbit hole. There were guys hitting 50, 55 home runs that you have never even heard of at all. It was a crazy time then.
It was indeed. And then, of course, they all, you know, then Barry Bonds came along.
Mr. 73.
Did you ever get to see Maguire or Sosa play? Did you ever see them? In person?
I'm trying to remember if I saw. I feel like I might have seen a Cubs game at Fenway Park a long time ago, an interleague play. Yeah. I don't know if it was Sammy Sosa. I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time. But.
I know I never saw either of them. I know I saw Barry Bonds at Fenway. It was the game Barry hit his one home run at Fenway.
And it was,
if it wasn't hit into the Giants bullpen, it would have been thrown back.
Nice. Yeah. And the fun part, they were just kind of recounting these home run moments and these events like this in sports. And that 98 season can never really be duplicated, Mike, because everyone's got a Twitter now. Everyone's got a phone on them. Everyone can access all of that and watch those games and at-bats whenever they want on their own time during the day. Back in 98, you had to get to a TV and ESPN would cut into games and show you those at-bats live. And they talked about kind of that aspect of how it really made that important for everyone in sports. It was appointment television, quite literally.
Yeah, it was something, you know, back then I remember watching a lot of Baseball Tonight on ESPN. And you would turn it on at like 9 o'clock. And because Maguire and Sosa were in the Central, you'd get these games ending late, so you might be able to see one of their late at bats and see them hit another home run. And that was those live look-ins. Always fun times.
Good stuff. Nice reminiscing.
Hashtag always love food.
Yeah, it was a good memory. I'll tell you, my memories are all barbecue based recently. I've been on a big barbecue kick. Obviously, I live in Texas and I love the smoked meats. The rabbit hole I've been going down, now that I'm sitting around, I got time on my hands. I'm trying to get inventive in the kitchen. I think I want to get a meat smoker. Mike, are you going to talk me off a ledge or are you going to convince me to do it?
So before I moved out of my parents' house, my father got a smoker.
Oh boy.
And let me just tell you, if you are ready for the commitment, do it. because you will make some fantastic smoked meats.
Oh, I've got a vote. That's exciting. I thought originally that I might need more friends because I don't have many and we're not allowed to be around too many right now.
Let me tell you something. You're going to make more friends with a smoker.
Yeah, I think they're going to come over. They'll just come over for a plate to go, I think, right now. Yeah. Like, I think, I mean, if I'm smoking a brisket, like, you know, my wife doesn't even eat barbecue. So this will just all just be me being a pig and hanging out with my friends who love it. But.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, too. You don't need to make that much meat in a smoker. I don't know what kind of smoker you're looking at here. You're looking at one of those small green egg things.
$150, $200 smallest one you can get. You know?
Okay, so you're not really looking at one of those. So you don't need to make a lot of meat. You want something that you can do like a beer can chicken in those. So you want something tall.
Yeah,
you definitely want that. Or you can, you know, throw. You're in Texas, so you want to be able to get. Get your
it's got
to
be a few pound brisket. The guy has got to fit in there. And then also we're talking pork shoulder too. That's my segue to you, because what I do, my ultimate Texas barbecue move is you smoke the pork shoulder, you go pulled pork, you go barbecue sauce, and you go a little coleslaw and a flour tortilla. And that's the ultimate Texas barbecue tortilla right there. It's the Tex-Mex barbecue fusion that you got to love in Texas. And so, I know that you just did a sauce that could go really well with those tacos as well.
So I made a homemade salsa this weekend. So I had some fresh corn.
Was this the green one or is this the corn salsa we're talking about now?
So 2 weeks, a week ago, I made the hot sauce.
With
roasted poblanos, roasted habaneros, roasted garlic, recipes up on Patreon, like I said, really nice, good heat, good flavor, kind of it's not herby, but it's like, I don't know what the right word really is to use it, but it's, you know, it's peppery. It's got good taste. So, and then this week I had some fresh corn and I was like, what am I going to do with it? So I made salsa, I made corn salsa. It was okay. It wasn't. I have a lot of it, so I need to eat it. I'm going to eat it. But we did it. We took the hot sauce. We took the salsa. I grilled some chicken. Then we got some fresh, local made flour tortillas at the farmer's market and used those and made some tacos.
Nice.
So it was all good together. But I'm not going to make the salsa again. It wasn't that great. I'm sorry.
Okay. Noted. Just buy from the store. Nice attempt. Yeah. I appreciate you trying. Thanks to for jumping off that ledge and trying that. But yeah, we'll just go store bought. No big deal.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul. All good. Good stuff. Hey, shout out to you, Michael, myself, Alex. Another great episode of The Course of Life in Books. We'll see you next week for more golf, sports, and pop culture action. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.